My name is David Holder, and quite a lot of you know me, but for those who don't, I work for Aireon, and our specialism is IPv6, plus also Windows Units integration. So I've been working with Samba and related technologies since I was this high. And I remember my mother wheeling me around in a pram with 3plus open on a laptop. Those were happy days. But anyway, more recently, most of my time has been focused on IPv6, and so I'm going to give you an update on where we are with Samba on that. And I'm particularly interested in why IPv6 only. We've talked in the past, and I'll go over this, IPv6 enabling Samba, but why go to just using IPv6? Who here is using IPv6 at the moment? Great. A round of applause for those guys, or maybe not. But for those who aren't using IPv6, this is something which can change your life in amazing ways. I mean, I've come across situations where it's cured the common cold, and I believe in the future there's a serious possibility that IPv6 could bring about world peace, even to Scotland, Jeremy. So this is what I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over a little bit of background about where we are with IPv6 and why we need to look at IPv6 only. And then we're going to have a look at some of the benefits. And finally, I'm going to go over how we actually deploy it. Oh, and I should ask now, how many people here are developers? Okay, how many people are normal? Right, the reason I ask that is if I have a lot of time left at the end along with questions, we can also look at some development stuff. But this is mainly focused on from a user perspective. So first of all, why IPv6? Just as a reminder for those of you who've forgotten, we're out of IPv4 addresses. We're seriously out of IPv4 addresses. Many of my clients can no longer get the V4 addresses that they need to run their business. And so I have clients now who are buying Eastern European companies for one reason, to get their IPv4 addresses. If you set up your own ISP now, for example, Jim might want to set up an ISP in Europe, and if you do, you can only get one allocation of 1,024 addresses. Now that's great if you're happy with a small user base, but if you want to make a lot of money, that's not going to work so well. So we're out of IPv4 addresses, and the day has come. That's great. Today, if you have IPv4 and IPv6 at home, these are real figures from Verizon in the US, 70% of your traffic will be over IPv6 on average. On average. That's outrageous. Yeah? Remember all the negative things that have been said about IPv6. This is quite incredible. And the reason for that is that 46% of the top websites are all IPv6 enabled. You know, your Google, your YouTube, your Facebook. All the big guys that do the largest volume of traffic are IPv6 enabled. Another interesting fact, and this is where I'm using statistics like a drunken man uses a lamppost, which is not for enlightenment. You will find that if you look at the figures over the last few years and use Google's trustworthy figures for how many people are IPv6 capable, it's doubled year upon year. At the moment, it's 6.5%. Last year, it was 3%. The year before, it was 1.5%. That means that by 2020, everybody will be using IPv6. There will be nobody just using IPv4. Anyway, what's driving going one step further? Even I was cynical when I first came across this. But many of my clients are going beyond having IPv4 and IPv6 to where they are getting rid of IPv4. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but there are a number of excellent reasons for doing this. First of all, it's easier to manage one protocol than it is to manage two. That's kind of obvious, I hope. You don't want to have to manage V4 as well as V6. The other is, and I was talking about this with some guys just before the session, that large organisations have to deploy multiple islands of RFC 1918 private address space. So they might have multiple 10.x.x.x networks. And so managing across those multiple islands is a pain in the neck. And you really don't want to do that. And there are organizations in the world that have migrated to IPv6 only internally for one reason and one reason only, and it's that one. Because historically they had to have multiple islands. So we are seeing a drive for IPv6 only. These are the top two big ones. But here's another one. We all live in a world of network address translation. And I don't know how many of you try and run your SMB over through NAT, over the global internet. Okay, maybe not so wise, but I'm quite sure that you run other things, yeah? Over the global internet. Maybe you do peer-to-peer games, maybe you do voice over IP. Maybe you do other things we shouldn't talk about. So anyway, you're used to having to work through NAT because you might have one public address. So you use technologies like iSTUM, Universal Plug and Play, PUP, Control Protocol Turn, etc. And there are loads of technologies to get you through the evils of NAT 4.4. But the bad news is that the world that we live in today is far, far worse. I thought I had a slide there, but I haven't. I've got it later on. We now have something called carrier-grade NAT, where your ISP has put NAT within their network because they are running out of public IPv4 addresses. And this means that all of those wonderful, horrible technologies that gave jobs to so many people, they no longer work. And you can imagine your granny at home. And this is one of our customers, Sony Computer Entertainment. Great guys in security, by the way. these guys, they tested a range of games on the Sony PlayStation. When carrier-grade NAT was introduced, 50% of them, 50% of them stopped working because the NAT traversal is built into their framework that they ship for building games. And depending on which version you have and what implementation of CGN you have, some of them will stop working. So your granny at home, playing on her game console, maybe Halo 5 or something like that, and suddenly it stops working and she doesn't know why. And this could affect all of us because with IPv6 only, we get our connectivity back. It allows us to do things we couldn't do before. And of course, we can use new features of V6, which I'll talk about. Okay, so Samba needs to be able to support IPv6 only because it's becoming increasingly common because of the things that I've talked about with large providers who are moving to IPv6 only, and also data centers and cloud providers where they're finding their virtualized environment is so big that IPv4, just even with large private address space, isn't sufficient. We have a client where they have, wait for it, 1 million, not nodes, but subnets in one office. Try doing that with V4. I won't tell you why. Or they'd shoot me. But anyway, they have. So there are lots of benefits to doing this, and we will see it happening whether we like it or not. And that means that Samba needs to be ready. Just a quick rewind then. Here's a beautiful diagram that gives you a little bit of history of IPv6 in Samba. If we go way back in time, these were happy days, by the way. These were days of peace and joy before NAT came along. People realized we were running out of IPv4 addresses way back in the 90s. It's hard to believe now, and so we started on V6 standards back there. And Microsoft caught on and became very keen on IPv6 because they had so much trouble with NAT. Microsoft had 15 teams of people working on NAT traversal at one point. And so they thought IPv6 will get rid of this problem. Now, if we look over here, we can see that Windows, in some form or other, has had IPv6 support for well over a decade. That's a long time. Samba is just behind. The Linux SIFS client, of course, is fantastic, and that has had IPv6 support for quite a long time. I was involved with Steve on that. And Samba 3 with Jeremy, that was 3.6. As I remember, there was crappy support in 3.2 plus, and then 3.6 was good. And Samba 4 was released with IPv6 support, which was broken in various places. But that has improved with time, to the point now where if you want to do dual stack Samba, IPv4 and IPv6, it works. And there are people who are doing this. There are some things I want to remind you of for those who don't remember, and that is that not everything works with IPv6 because it's not meant to. For example, NetBIOS, MBT, things like broadcast name resolution, WINS, NT domains, these have built into them IPv4 specific things, which means you cannot use them over V6. So when we're moving to IPv6, we are talking about SIFS, raw SMB over TCP, and we are looking at Active Directory solutions. Okay, so that just reiterates what I said there with a couple of extra little bit of details, and that is that for name resolution, we have lost the NetBIOS name resolution, the WINS name resolution, and for IPv6, we use hosts or LM hosts. We've got Microsoft's multicast DNS, which is called Link Local Multicast Name Resolution, very easy to remember, snazzy name. And we've got DNS, of course, and we've got something new invented by Microsoft called literal addresses as well. So, this is where we are. Samba is IPv6 ready. Dual stack environments work, which is great if you've got IPv4 and IPv6. But when we get to IPv6 only, we have some problems. Now, the good news is that I believe that by the end of Samba XP this year, this will not be as problematic. And I think it will be possible to deploy Samba IPv6 only solutions. Today, we've had to use workarounds when we've done it. But I think we've fixed the main problems, but some are still IPv4. There's still some IPv4 only bits. So, what are the potential issues? Well, there are some bugs, and some of these, one of the things about bugs is how important they are. The majority of the remaining problems with Samba 4 for IPv6 only are trivial. They are not going to stop you doing it. I'm not talking about release versions yet, I'm talking about what's in master. There are some little funnies, such as configuring etc hosts. You have to get your aliases after the canonical name. Dynamic DNS updates, some work, some don't, depending on your configuration, whether you're using the internal DNS or you're using bind, and in some cases, even the syntax of the command. Anything that used NetBIOS or WINS must be changed. Here's one that I'll come back to. You can't use LLMNR for link local addresses. And we have one or two little issues as well, which I will come back to in a moment. So, what are the benefits of actually doing this? I've mentioned some of them. The real benefit is the one that I mentioned first of all, which is that you can have IPv6 only networks that are much easier to manage, and it supports those environments that are moving to it. But there are also some, there are also some theoretical benefits as two potential improvements. And I want to have a look at whether these are real or not, or whether they're pretend, whether they're imaginary. Some of them are ones that I've mentioned in the past at Samba XP when I was trying to encourage people to IPv6 enable Samba. So we're going to see whether I was telling the truth or not. First of all, jumbograms. Does anybody remember me mentioning jumbograms before? Yeah. In IPv6, you can have datagrams that are multi-megabytes in size. They can be huge. Now, for those of you who work in environments with SMB, where you are moving huge files, This is an obvious benefit. Less overhead, less messing around sending different frames. Yeah? And of course, since Samba 2.1 with multi-credit, you can do large MTU. So with Samba 2.1 and above, you can go beyond the 64K limit, which can be supported by IPv4, and you can go as far as 1 megabyte, 8 megabyte chunks. So it'd be nice to be able to support that at the network layer, so that you don't have to chop this up into multiple datagrams. But that's the problem. For IPv6 to provide you with that benefit, you need to have a data link that supports huge MTUs. How many people here know of data links that support huge MTUs? Anybody name a data link that's got huge MTUs? Well, who's using VertIO interfaces? Okay, well, if you're using VertIO interfaces connected to each other, you can do up to 64K, but that doesn't get you any better than IPv4. That's the same as IPv4, so we've not gained anything. Does anybody here use InfiniBand? An IP over InfiniBand? Yeah. Well, that can have limitless MTU. So there are data links where it might theoretically be possible in the future, but nobody, including myself, has done this yet, going beyond 64K. So it remains a theoretical benefit. Okay, but here's a real one. In IPv4, if you want to send a datagram from a network with a large MTU to networks with smaller MTUs, you fragment here. So this router gets hit by the overhead of fragmentation, and the destination gets hit by the overhead of reassembly. Now, the great news with IPv6, now you can do this with IPv4, but it doesn't always work, but in IPv6 it has to work, is that IPv6 avoids fragmentation using path MTU discovery. And fragmentation in IPv6 is illegal on intervening routers. So this is a great benefit for environments with large file servers, because it means you can push the MTU to its maximum size and still service other subnets with smaller MTUs without hitting fragmentation. That's a real benefit. Here's another real benefit. Anybody here use Direct Access from Microsoft? Yeah. What do you think? Good? Bad? It's brilliant, isn't it? Now, we have many clients where they have thrown away their VPN servers. Sorry? You hate it? Okay, right. Okay. Direct Access is great. There are problems, as we were talking earlier, but we will just brush over those. But we have large clients who've got rid of their VPN concentrators, and they've replaced it with Direct Access. Now, what Direct Access does is, now it's a bigger story than this, and I'm covering up some gaps here, but it uses IPv6 end-to-end connectivity to allow you, when you turn your laptop on, to join a domain, even though you might be in Starbucks, right? So you turn your laptop on, your computer is connected to the AD domain controller, you can log in as normal without having to set up a VPN first. From a user perspective, it's like being in the office, and it's secured with IPsec. So it's secure, but CGN breaks this if you try to do this outside of Direct Access. And the end-to-end connectivity we get from IPv6 makes this a potential possibility with Samba 4. Anyway, that's a picture of CGN for those of you who want to see how the world has been destroyed through CGN. And this is the pure bliss that we remember, those of us who are old enough remember. Okay, there are other possible benefits for the future which I'd love to talk about. Mobility, you can have mobility in IPv6. We were talking earlier about switching with multi-channel between different interfaces, which might be Wi-Fi or might be Ethernet. With IPv6, you can do that switching completely transparently underneath. So the node doesn't even know that you're switching between different networks and connections don't break. Quality of service, there are additional things in IPv6 that could be beneficial. Okay, let's talk about deploying it. Now, in terms of building it, you can use the current version, but you will have problems. If you use the version in Git, then you will have fewer problems and your problems will not be in major areas. And I'm hoping that I can eradicate some of the existing bugs by the end of Samba XP or in the near future. So, first of all, you need to set up IPv6. Now, for those who've done it, there are multiple ways of setting IPv6 up, but the beauty of it is that it happens by magic. So you turn on IPv6 on your router, and your nodes magically start using IPv6. It's a wonderful thing. I can see various cynical views. So you'll see in cynical-looking faces in the audience. You see here, we've got IPv4 turned off, and this is the way it should be. And here, no IPv4, IPv6 only. And if you want to know how to do that in detail, I did an early presentation in 2011 that does that. When you configure etc hosts, some people who are lazy might put the aliases before the canonical name. Don't do this with IPv6. The reason is that we've changed to using get address info. And get address info returns for you the canonical name of your node, but it assumes it's in the right place. So if it's in the wrong place, it will not get the canonical name. And in the past, what Samba used to do was use get host by IP and get back all the aliases and find the canonical name from that, which was probably more robust. But now we just tell people they're doing the wrong thing if it's not like that, which I like. The DNS resolver on the domain controller, loop back to itself. Here we are, here's the IPv6 loopback. That is so much better than 127.0.0.1. And on the member server, we can configure DNS through DHCP or manually in etcresolve.conf. You might want to use literal addresses. These are something that Microsoft invented that are useful in tools where other techniques for writing IPv6 addresses don't work. They get confused with domain names. And CIMO has written a NSS module for literal addresses if you want to use that. If you want to use link local multicast name resolution, I remember a discussion on technical lists with somebody asking for this, and I said to Jeremy, we don't need it. You don't need it. This is a multicast, like bonjour-like technique that Microsoft have invented, where it sends out DNS messages, but not to a server, to all the nodes on a single LAN. And it gets the names back in responses that look like DNS responses, but they're multicast. But it only works for link local addresses. And in IPv6, link local addresses are not routable. And if you're using Samba as a domain controller, then you're not going to be using link local addresses anyway. You're going to be resolving the addresses, the global addresses, within DNS. So I've not tested this. It's a bounty source implementation. I get the impression it might not be that good. Was that recorded? Anyway, so here's a provision. Now, I've shown you this just so you can see what you will see if you have only IPv6. No IPv4 addresses, you get IPv6. Notice here, too, that I've actually specified the interfaces that we're going to use explicitly. You don't have to do that to use IPv6. The thing is, if you don't do that, what will happen is that Samba will listen on V4 and V6 as well, even though you don't have any V4 addresses configured. So if we look here, if you do use those options, you'll find that Samba also does the wrong thing, but it, don't worry, it won't break anything, but it's doing the wrong thing. And that is, it explicitly listens on the global address, That's your global IPv6 address. Notice that to make it easy to read, we use colons as separators within the IPv6 address and between the address and the port number. Duh. But here we've got the loopback, so it's listening on that and that, but it should also be listening on the linked local address as well, and it isn't. And there's a very good reason why it isn't in the code, but that would be nice to change that. So it works, and we've tested a range of scenarios and various Samba tools and found a few problems which are now fixed, but you will find that most operations, AD operations, work, and the functionality that most people need, 99% of it, is good. There's just small, tiny bits that don't work. Some things fail. It depends on what you're doing with dynamic updates. Sometimes it fails and sometimes it succeeds. I'm going to get this sorted along with my friends in the Samba team, who I'm sure will help me fix this. So here's an example where it fails. Here's a funny one that doesn't matter as long as you know about it, and that is that the Samba tool DNS, if you specify an IPv6 address in a legal form, ironically the canonical form, as per the RFCs, which is without the zeros there, it will fail. However, if you specify it with all the zeros, it will work. That's a trivial bug, and you just need to know about it. There is another problem with the internal Samba DNS server. I don't know how easy this will be to fix, guys, but you don't support, as far as I can see, extended DNS. Sorry? Ah, right, okay. How about extended DNS? Oh, so that's for V4 as well. Nobody, right, okay. Well, the problem with extended DNS is the maximum size of a DNS message is 512 bytes, a UDP 512 bytes, which when you start using IPv6 addresses can be a problem. So extended DNS allows you to go up to 64K, but most people do 4K. Okay, so that's where we are. There are a few other issues. For example, tests. Andreas has done an excellent job of updating the socket wrapper so that it supports IPv4 and IPv6 for testing Samba. However, we actually need to test IPv4 only, IPv6 only, and dual stack. And unfortunately, we need to do that for an awful lot of functionality, which we're not doing at the moment. And this problem of not doing this was illustrated by a problem with CLDAP that Alex fixed today, where there was a bug which actually, even if we'd done that, wouldn't have been found, whereby it was looking through a set of V6 and V4 addresses, and if it actually failed on one of them as it was working through them to find success, it didn't pick up on that, and so the whole thing failed. Okay, some of the code is not as good as other bits, but as I say, that's not a big deal. It does work. So, in conclusion, you can do it. And you can do it today. You can run Samba IPv6 only, and it will work. Any questions? And how much time do I have left? 1 minute. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, Jeremy? Yeah.
So I just want to make sure, as you fixed and identified these, if you can get a list of the issues that you've had fixed, remember, the only way to get them into the production release, and it would be nice to get them into the next version of 4.2 and backported to 4.1, which is still under maintenance, is you have to have a bug report logged.
Oh,
so for
right.
Every, there's no longer sort of, oh, we know this is good, we'll backport it. we have a process now. There is process. So nothing goes into production branches without bug report filed to engineering review. And then there's essentially an automated process, aka Carolyn.
So those bugs that were finished,
they will not get backported. They would only be in 4.3 unless you log a bug report. And for each change, you will need to log a bug report. And if you do that, I will backport them for you. I will make sure they all get in. But that process has to be followed. It's the only way we put code changes in production release branches now. So
great.
Please remember to do that. Otherwise, you'll be going around saying, yeah, it all works, it's all fixed. And then all of the Sambas that are being shipped on everyone's platforms won't have them in. So.
Okay. Thank you. This isn't direct access, is it?
No, it's not a direct access question. So you mentioned that we should listen on LLM MNR address. So can you explain why?
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to do a demonstration, but I don't think we've quite got enough time, have we? But 10 minutes, pushing it a little bit. Helps if I put it up over there as well. But if I just bring this over. Look, that's a demonstration of things going wrong. We don't want to see that, do we? If we have a look, in fact, no. If we look at this, every IPv6 interface always has a link local address. And so there's the link local address there, which is FE80. And it's non-routable. And if you don't have a global address, you can do everything over this that you can do over global addresses, but only on the local link. Okay, you're happy with that. You probably already knew that. But LLMNR, what that does is it provides name resolution when you only have these addresses. But you don't necessarily, you might have, but you don't necessarily have global addresses. So, imagine you deploy AD. You will have global addresses because you have to, and the names will be in DNS. So there's no need to use link local addresses. You don't need to. You'll look at the global address. That'll be your destination. You will use it. And the rules are that your source will also be a global address. Is this answer? I think I'm going to get there in the end to answer your question. The fact that we're not listing, the fact that Samba is not listening on link local addresses for most use cases doesn't matter. That didn't work. So for most use cases, it doesn't matter at all. Because people in the real world won't generally be using that. However, if you had a standalone server, a NAS, for example, in a home, and they're using Samba 4, what should happen in that situation, if they haven't configured global addresses, is it should use link local. And then to do the name resolution, if it's working with Windows clients, you need LLMNR. So did that answer your question?
Yes. I mean, I still think that is most probably not very needed because you expect your router to do the router advertisement. So
exactly.
But let's say that you have a Windows and a Linux PC and no router or whatever. You're
in trouble.
That's the only real use case where I can
see
that. Yes,
exactly right. And so it's a rare case, which is why I'm not panicking about it. And I imagine lots of other people aren't, and there are solutions to get around it. But yes, you're right. I will put a bug report in.
So actually, that is a fairly important case to get fixed.
I mean, Samba doesn't do NASes, does it?
Exactly. Because it's the common case where someone takes a box home, sets it up, you know, and it has to work out of the box without... It's a zero config case.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is actually a fairly important thing.
Well, can I ask you a question then, Jeremy?
If you can log that as a bug, and then we'll...
Yeah, because this goes back to our discussion before where I said Samba doesn't need to do LLMNR.
Well, maybe we do.
Maybe we do. But I still think it should be an NSS module rather than part of Samba. Because it doesn't have to be part of Samba, it could be...
Well, I mean, it depends. I haven't looked at LLMNR, how that works, so...
It's trivial.
Well...
It really is.
Then probably sticking it in Samba might be easier.
Yeah, I mean, if I had time, I would love to have a go at that, writing the code wrong and then getting it fixed by you.
But yeah, if you could log that as a bug, as a missing IPv6 feature, then at least we can track it.
I think I did about 4 years ago, actually.
Well, you can
I think what happened was I went and closed it. Is that what you... No.
You could always reopen it. So it's still there.
It's a non-Samba question. Currently what we have, you get an IP address from your ISP. And then you put a router, and then your five computers have a NAT, you know. So when you said that IP version 6 gives you end-to-end connectivity, it means that all my computers will have to get an address from my ISP, right?
Correct.
So then ISP will be charging me for five addresses as opposed to one.
There's so many IP, this is the beauty of IPv6, there's so many of them, they are worthless. So, you know... ISPs will generally give you enough addresses to give an address to every molecule on planet Earth.
They need to make money.
For free.
They will say, okay, no, I am giving you five addresses, give me five times the money.
No, they're not doing that.
In the US, but it's not even,
I mean, I think about 4 billion subnets, never mind the outrageous number of addresses that are on there that could label every... No, there's no need. There's enough to go around, Andrew.
And another question is, what happened to IP version 5?
Anybody?
What happened to IPv5?
Yes. Oh, what? Yes, does anybody know the answer? Yeah, Chris.
The odd numbers are testing.
That's exactly what's happened. The odd numbers have now become test.
The odd numbers
versions.
Are testing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Andreas.
What I wanted to say, I have a really nice patch set for NSS wrapper, which allows us to correctly handle IPv4 and IPv6 addresses with getOther info. This means we can test dual stack in Samba self-test now.
Which is brilliant. Thank you, Andreas. So, go home, deploy IPv6, and live a happy life. Is that it? I wasn't stopping the questions, by the way. I just thought they had stopped, but no. Well, are we good, or...